Welcome to the Hoopsite Podcast. My name is Alex Kennedy. Thank you for listening. As always, we post new episodes every Monday and Thursday, so be sure to subscribe, give us a like, give us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Joining me today is a five-year NBA veteran who's having a breakout season with the Sacramento Kings. He's averaging 13.1 points, 8.5 rebounds, 1.4 blocks, and 1.1 steals, while shooting 66% from the field, all of which are career highs. My guest is Rashawn Holmes. Rashawn, how are you? Thanks for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, you're having a breakout season, but before we get to your excellent year, I want to talk about your upbringing and how you got to this point. I know growing up, you and your three older brothers would play a game called Hack, where you'd take turns trying to dribble the length of the concrete basement, and everyone else would try to tackle whoever was dribbling. How did your three brothers and games like that influence your toughness and style of play?
It was growing up, you know, my brothers never took it easy on me in anything that I did, anything that we did. And, you know, that definitely, those little battles helped shape me. You know, Hack was one of my favorite games to play growing up. And so just kind of got used to dribbling around, getting hit, getting knocked around. And it just became a habit. And, you know, those little early habits formed. And it was kind of like the foundation of me as a basketball player, I would say.
I love it. I read that you guys accidentally shattered a window once, broke a pool table, so it definitely got intense at times. As the youngest brother, how tough was that for you? Would you get beat up?
Most definitely. You know, my brothers, they aren't small guys. So, yeah, coming up, you know, they definitely beat on me a little bit, you know, just to, you know, tough me up, get me right, you know, but they always did everything they did out of love, I would say. You know, they always wanted to, you know, push me to the next level and, you know, just make sure I was, you know, tough enough and wouldn't let anybody push me around when I did play.
Yeah, it worked out, right? It paid off.
No doubt.
You were a late bloomer, growing from 6'2 to 6'9 after a huge growth spurt in high school. After only receiving one Division I scholarship offer, you attended Moraine Valley Community College. You averaged over 5 blocks per game. Then you transferred to Bowling Green, played really well. But how did playing at a junior college help you, and what were some of the biggest lessons that you took from that experience?
I think playing in junior college was that was an experience that was definitely needed, because there were just so many, I want to say, like, dogs at the junior college level. You know, like a lot of tough guys, a lot of guys, you know, who were kind of, you know, looking for to get back into school, do different things, different activities and stuff like that. And, you know, they were just, it was such a tough league, you know, I remember playing there, you know, it was a chip on everybody's shoulder. Everybody's trying to prove themselves. And I think just that toughness could bring in it every game, making sure every game I'm prepared, making sure every game I'm ready to attack, and, you know, not letting anybody push me around, things of that sort. I think that was just the main thing from junior college that helped shape me as a player.
For sure, yeah. So being a late bloomer in high school, then going the junior college route, when did you start realizing that professional basketball, that the NBA, was a realistic possibility for you?
I think around my junior year and at Bowling Green is when I kind of realized that summer, as I was training, you know, I just, you know, realized I felt like I had a pretty good season. My first year was going to get a chance to start my second year. I just felt like if I can continue to work, I would play basketball somewhere. You know, I wasn't really sure about the NBA at the time. You know, I always said I wanted to make the NBA, but, you know, realistically around that third year, you know, I knew I could play somewhere and play professionally somewhere.
And I read Kevin Garnett was one of the players you looked up to. Is that accurate? And, you know, when you were younger, who were some of the players that you kind of molded your game after?
I think Kevin Garnett, you know, he's a big one. You know, just the passion, intensity he played with, you know, bringing it every night. And, you know, just being that enforcer for his teams. You know, he never backed down from anybody. He was ready to play, and he just took such joy in the opportunity to step on the court every night. It kind of came through TV. He was a big inspiration.
For sure. You were the 37th overall pick in the 2015 NBA draft. What was your draft day experience like? Because I know you were getting a lot of hype around the draft. You were kind of climbing up some teams' draft boards. You had done really well during the pre-draft process and really shined. What was that like for you going through that process? And then, you know, what was your draft night experience like?
I was actually in Bowling Green, still in the hotel room with my entire family was there. My son would have been born about 2 weeks before the draft day. And I kind of knew my range. You know, I would fall into the late first round, kind of early second round is what I was told. And so I just remember every pick around that time, you know, the anticipation kept mounting and mounting. And, you know, when they actually did call my name, they actually cut to commercial. And so I didn't get a chance to see them actually call my name at first. It's like when they came back from commercial, it's almost they skipped from the 36 to the 38th pick. And I remember one of my brother's friends had to call, who was actually at the draft. And they told us that I had got picked. And then they kind of gave a flashback on TV. And I was able to see my face and everything. Saw some of my highlights from Bowling Green. And that's kind of when it became real.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, we talked to Terrence Davis from the Raptors recently. And he was talking about how he actually, you know, he went undrafted. But he had a son 6 days before the draft. And he talked about how that changed him. And that really made the experience easier for him when he went undrafted. Because he still had, you know, his family and a healthy boy and everything, he was able to kind of look on the bright side. How did fatherhood kind of change you? Having a son 2 weeks before the draft, what was that like for you? And, you know, what's fatherhood been like for you?
I think it definitely changes you. And I think for me, it was the realization that, you know, it's not just about me anymore. You know, everything that I do, you know, I have somebody watching, have somebody, you know, looking to me to, you know, set that example and kind of, you know, show them the way. And I just think, you know, I always keep that in the back of my mind that my son is watching me. My son is, you know, looking to me to set the example for him. And I just want to be the best man I can be possible just so he can have something to look up to. And so I think that's for me, just always focusing and remembering the bigger picture, remember that, you know, he's what's important and he's what's, you know, he's who's looking at me. And you know, he needs me. And that's a great responsibility to take on. And it's just nothing I would rather do.
For sure. He's almost 5 years old, I would say, just doing the math. So in a few years, will he be playing hack?
Oh, for sure. Without a doubt. That's the game that's getting passed down. He has our brothers have sons as well. So they'll be having fun with that.
There you go. I love it. Early in your career with the Sixers, you were able to earn playing time for Philly despite playing in a, you know, crowded front court. Joel Embiid, Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor. What did that do for your confidence, being able to earn that kind of playing time and also just going up against those guys every single day? What was that like for you, just being able to learn from that and gain that confidence?
It was very competitive in practice every day. You know, I just remember going at it. You know, we were always competing. And I think as a young player, to come in with that type of competition and having to work so hard to get every single amount of playing time that I got, you know, I think that just kept my mindset strong and, you know, it gave me confidence to know that, you know, I belong in the NBA. You know, it was, you know, we were struggling at that time and, you know, a lot of guys were trying to prove themselves. And I think just competing against them and able to carve out, you know, kind of some playing time for myself and kind of getting my niche in the league, you know, I think that kind of gave me confidence and let me know what I needed to do going forward.
Yeah, during your rookie season with the Sixers, that was kind of during the trust the process era. The team won 10 games. Your second season, they won 28 games. The whole experiment obviously ended up working because they were able to land Embiid and Simmons and become a contender so shortly after struggling. But what was it like being a part of those trust the process teams and losing so many games? I know you're a competitor. So what was that like for you having to, you know, lose most nights but be able to develop and still kind of learn from your experiences?
It was tough. You know, it was a tough experience for sure. Nobody likes losing, you know. But I think, you know, the opportunity that was in it, you know, I don't know if I went anywhere else when I get the playing time and get the opportunity to get looks. And I feel like during that time, they gave so many young players opportunities to prove themselves. And that's something I'm forever grateful to Philly for, you know, just giving me the opportunity to prove myself, step on the court, and, you know, show I belonged in the NBA. And I think every night, that's what it was about for us. You know, everybody had a chip on their shoulder. Everybody wanted to show they were an NBA player and belonged. And, you know, it was a competitive year. It was a competitive year, and, you know, everybody was fighting and scrapping.
Yeah, and, you know, everyone talks about Embiid and Simmons, but coming from that trust the process experiment, you know, we saw yourself, who's clearly an NBA player, a great one. We saw Robert Covington, TJ McConnell. I mean, there was a lot of gems that were kind of uncovered in Philly during that time. And it's interesting. I talked to Keith Pompey about those trust the process years, and he said because you guys were so young and just happy to be in the NBA and there were no real expectations, that the team was actually really positive and in good spirits a lot of the time. Was the mood around those teams really good usually because there were no expectations really?
Definitely. You know, I think, like I said, a lot of guys, you know, were just so happy to get the opportunity to prove themselves. You know, we just wanted to go out there and play every night, play hard every night. You know, I don't think anybody in the locker room took the opportunity for granted. Everybody just embraced the opportunity that we're given and wanted to make the most of it. And so, yeah, it was always fun. It was always light around the locker room. And, you know, guys were just excited to be there. You know, we wanted to just get our chance to prove ourselves and, you know, try to see if we could stick in the league.
Yeah, and obviously you're doing a great job of doing that. You're having an awesome season with the Sacramento Kings. Before you joined the Kings, though, in free agency, you were traded from the Sixers to the Phoenix Suns for cash considerations. What was it like experiencing that trade for the first time? You know, getting the news, making that adjustment. What was that like for you?
I mean, it was a pretty smooth transition, I would say. You know, I got traded in the summer. You know, I didn't get traded during the season, so, you know, I had time to get used to the area in Phoenix. I had time to go out there and scope out things, pick out where I wanted to live. And, you know, I was able to just transition in, you know, get used to the system in the summer, work out with some of the coaches. And so it was a pretty smooth transition. You know, I knew it was going to be an opportunity for me to play more and a chance to show that I belonged in the league even more so, and that I could show my talent a little bit more when I got traded to Phoenix. And so I think, you know, it was a smooth transition, and it was an opportunity I was excited for.
You were traded for cash considerations, and I know some players take that personally. Jordan Bell, for example, you know, that was a big grudge that he held when he was traded for cash considerations on draft night. Did that motivate you, and did you take it personally that, you know, you were traded for cash considerations?
Oh, definitely. You know, I think, you know, as a competitor, you want to show your worth and show that you're worth more. And, you know, I think that really, you know, just drove me to continue to work harder and, you know, just made me want to continue to prove myself. Like I said, even those years in Philly, every day you have to prove yourself. You have to prove yourself. And I think from having that mindset when I got traded, you know, it even more so stoked the fire of me proving myself and showing I belonged in the NBA.
And now fast forward to January of this year, and you're getting MVP chance after a win against the Memphis Grizzlies. What was that moment like for you, having the entire crowd chant MVP? I mean, that has to be the best feeling. And I know you said in an interview that was the first time that ever happened to you, anything like that at any level. So what was that like?
It was amazing. It was amazing. You know, there's moments like that that I don't take for granted. You know, the love that the Sacramento fans have showed me since I got there has been unreal. And so to have it culminate there in that moment, you know, it was truly amazing. I was definitely appreciative of them for that.
Yeah, you've become a fan favorite. It's pretty cool to see. When you were a free agent this past offseason and you decided to sign with Sacramento, you know, what factors were you considering and why did you ultimately decide to join the Kings?
I think it was just such a great fit. Even before I decided to sign with Sacramento, you know, the fit just made more sense, made the most sense, I think. And, you know, they pursued me. They made it clear that they wanted me to be a part of the team. And, you know, I was sold. I really, you know, felt like we could do some things. I could grow with this team, grow with this franchise in the city. And I think the timing was just right.
For sure. You know, you're known for your shot blocking and defense, and you've obviously guarded a ton of players. Who was the toughest player for you to guard? Who gave you the most trouble?
The toughest player, you mean ever or just in the NBA?
Let's do in the NBA and let's do ever. You can do both.
I'd say in the NBA, probably definitely be Kevin Durant. You know, switching off on that guy, you know, he had so many moves and so many weapons in his arsenal at 7 feet. And so, yeah, he's just unguardable. And I remember just matching up with him, getting switched out onto him. And he's tough to stop. And I think probably in college, one of the toughest players, Jimmy Hall, played for Kent State. You know, he was super tough on the low block, you know, to get his shot off, get to where he wanted on the floor. But yeah, I always enjoy playing against him in college.
Those are good ones. I like it. Yeah, KD, I mean, I think I've talked to a lot of defenders about guarding him, and it just seems like it's brutal. There's really nothing you can do. That has to be so frustrating when you're used to shutting guys down. He's definitely a tough one. As I mentioned in the intro, you're averaging career highs in points, rebounds, blocks, steals, and field goal percentage. Is this breakout season just a matter of getting more minutes and more of an opportunity, or do you think there's more to it than that?
I think the opportunity definitely presented itself, but you know, I put in a lot of work. You know, I've never stopped working, continued to work, wanted to get better, continue to get better, and just when that hard work and preparation meets the opportunity, you know, you'll be ready for it. And so I think it's just a meeting of having the opportunity and all the hard work I put in, and seeing it come to fruition.
Absolutely. You guys are 3.5 games out of the 8th seed in the Western Conference right now. I know over the offseason, I talked to a number of Sacramento players, and there was a lot of talk about we got to make the playoffs, and that's kind of the big push. What do you guys feel like you need to do to sneak into the 8th seed in the Western Conference this year?
Just have to continue, you know, playing the way we want, the way we're supposed to play. You know, I feel like these last few games especially, you know, we've been pushing it, having a good camaraderie and chemistry. You know, and I think if we continue to play like that and take it one game at a time, we can put ourselves in a good position. But, you know, we have to just control what we can control, win as many games as possible and continue going.
What's it like to be part of this core in Sacramento with De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield? I mean, this is a talented group of guys, and, you know, you're obviously fitting in so well with them. What's it like to be part of that core? And, you know, does it make it easier when you have a guy like De'Aaron Fox that's kind of setting you up and helping you offensively?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, it's definitely fun to play with these guys. And, you know, De'Aaron Fox, you know, his ability to break down the defense is second to none. And, you know, he collapses so well. You know, you can just find little spots to get open. He'll find you, you know, but it's a lot, little floaters in the lane. You know, he's such a smart basketball player. You know, he knows how to get to his spots and find a teammate. So he makes it easy on all of us, honestly.
For sure. You know, you've made huge strides this year, and you've improved really every year you've been in the league. You're obviously a hard worker, you know, dating back to high school and college even. So I'm curious, you know, what aspect of your game do you feel like you still need to improve, or, you know, what's an area that you still want to improve? Because it seems like, you know, you're a hungry guy. You want to continue to get better. What aspect of your game would you want to continue to develop?
I think 3-point shooting for me, you know, my second year in the league, you know, I shot the 3-point pretty well. And then my role kind of changed with that team and in the NBA in general. You know, it was kind of a shift for me switching into being strictly a role man. And, you know, it's a role I definitely embraced and wanted to make sure I was the best I possibly could be at it. You know, and I just wanted, you know, expand my game, you know, just to how much easier the floor of the game is when you're big and shoot. You know, I just think for that I can add another weapon for this team, and that's definitely something I'm working on.
Well, it's funny. That was my next question for you. In the last 5 years, we've seen the NBA evolve quite a bit, especially with centers and how they're used. From 2015 to now, what are the biggest differences in terms of what you're asked to do and how the position has changed? I know this right now you're not being asked to shoot a lot of threes, but when you look around the league at centers and just how the position is evolving, what are some of the biggest differences you've noticed?
I think, you know, you have to be able to move. You know, it's a lot of mobile bigs, and you know, you have to be able to move, run the floor, switch out on guards at times, you know, when it's needed. And you know, there's got to be a lot of the mobility factor is big, you know, especially where our teams use the pick and roll and things of that sort. So I think that's one thing. Definitely floor spacing. You know, a lot of fives are able to shoot the ball nowadays, and you know, that's definitely something I have to work on.
Yeah, it feels like the back-to-the-basket big men, that's kind of, you know, where teams are moving away from that. Like Jahlil Okafor, for example, who you played with, I've known him since he was in high school, and I always marveled at his post moves and his footwork and his counter moves and all this different stuff. And then now he's just in a league where teams aren't really posting up anymore. But fortunately for you, you know, teams still want shot blocking and running the floor and roll men and hustle plays. So your game kind of fits in this era nicely. Would you agree that it seems like those things are never going to kind of go away? Teams are still going to need that from a big man?
Definitely. You know, I think that's something, that's just a skill set that's needed in the NBA, you know, from the big. So I definitely think that's something that's big.
Now you have the Houston Rockets going with a no center strategy. They're playing PJ Tucker, Robert Covington at the five. I've been surprised by it, but it's worked pretty well. They're 10-2 since making that change. What do you make of that switch?
You know, it's something that works for them. You know, those are a lot of talented guys. You know, guys like PJ Tucker and Robert Covington can guard multiple positions. So, you know, it's a system that they're making work, and they're making it work for their team. And, you know, it seems like something that could be effective for them.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate this. If you guys want to listen to more episodes of the Hoopsite podcast, be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are found. And until next time, thanks for listening.